Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic who joins us weekly. We thank him. The films are Loveless and Black Panther. You always make us wait for the second one, don't you, David?
I always do. That's why I put them in that order. And yeah, everybody's got to wait for Black Panther just because, we'll build up to it so that the suspense will be excruciating before I reveal my opinion for the little that that's worth of the movie. But I have to say, I thought that these two films, which are both just around right now, would be an interesting pairing because they kind of represent opposite ends of the spectrum. Loveless is what we can loosely call an art film from the other side of the world, from Russia, whereas Black Panther is a great big Hollywood production. And so for that reason, they're kind of an interesting contrast. Loveless, which is, by the way, one of the nominees for the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film, not that that counts for much, but Loveless is directed by a guy who's made a few films now, a Russian director named Andrei Zvyagintsev. And he has a very vaunted reputation. He's known for making very serious and very somber films. And certainly Loveless, as its very title indicates, is certainly a somber film and a film which is about people, yeah, who don't have a whole lot of love. And it also, to some extent at least, extends out from the characters on which it focuses to being a kind of an indictment of what's wrong in Russian society. And I would argue, in society, probably throughout the industrialized world. It's a social critique as well as a story of individual characters. So the main characters of Loveless are a married couple, and you guessed it, an unhappily married couple named Zhenya and Boris. And they have a young child as well. So Zhenya and Boris are both, they are unhappy with each other. They are unhappy with life. They have what appears to be a reasonably kind of well-supported sort of just sort of middle-class life, certainly not exactly lower middle-class, sort of middle class maybe, but they are both unhappy with each other, unhappy with the things that are around them, and both of them are very heavily involved in affairs with other people. So we have both of these straying parents, and we see both of them having a much better time with their lovers outside the marriage than they have with each other in their marriage, and they also have a young son, about 12 years old. His name is Alyosha, and neither one of the parents really has any time for their kid. He's the only child, and he only sort of dimly knows what's going on with the two parents in terms of their affairs. So, I mean, he is only 12, but he is a very, very unhappy child. And one day he overhears one of the many, many quarrels between his parents, and it obviously upsets him even sort of more than most of them do. And he just sort of wanders off. And that's the last we see of Alyosha. That's not exactly a spoiler, but he wanders away. He wanders away and he is missing. He is gone. And after a while, his parents notice this. Where is he? Should we be worried about this? Maybe he's with a friend. You know, the usual kind of thing that happens in this sort of movie. But then they begin to realize that maybe he really has sort of vanished and what is going on, and maybe we really should be worried about this. I mean, these people are not crazy. They do care about their child. They just don't care very much about their child. Or maybe to put it a little bit more accurately, they wish that their child's very real need didn't interfere with their really real pleasures and all of that. So after a while, they've got the cops working on the case, and this is sort of where we get into now the sort of social critique of not just the story of individual psychologies here. We already have that to some extent with how unhappy these people are. Again, they have no real powerful physical needs, their material comforts are, you know, they're not very comfortable, but their comforts are perfectly intact. They're not hungry. They have places to sleep. You know, they have a reasonably intact sort of bare bones middle class life. But their unhappiness itself speaks about something being wrong in the kind of social milieu in which they live and exist. And then once we start looking for the child, for the missing Alyosha, we have to kind of think about what are the social resources for this. There are the police, there are volunteers who go out to look for the child, but it's not the kind of full-on press that one might really hope that an industrialized nation might be able to mount. In other words, we're not really confident that this kid is going to be found, even with all the people in the town and so forth and so on looking for him, and all the people in the town are not looking for him. So that's where we get into that, the whole notion of why is it that people in a reasonably advanced part of a reasonably advanced culture can't have just the resources that they need to be happy together, or at least to maybe separate and start afresh, but without making everybody around them miserable. And here, the child, Alyosha, who is a very real character for the little time that we actually see him in the movie, is a kind of a symbol of all that is wrong. Not just a symbol either, but an embodiment of all that is wrong. So we have the lovelessness between the couple. We have the loveliness between the couple and their child. We have the lovelessness of the culture at large, which can't really mobilize itself in an effective way to solve this problem. And we have all kinds of grim details in the middle. One of my critical colleagues said that the movie is more gripping than grim. I would argue that it's both. You really do wonder about Alyosha. What's going to happen? Are they going to find him? And this kind of thing. But you also have to think, I think, very much also of the grimness of it. It's a very, very grim film, a very, very grim social portrait. So why then should anybody go look at this film? Because it's really a beautifully done film. It's very involving. It's very wrenching, yes, but in the way that a lot of serious dramas are, it's really worth watching to think about the issues it raises, and not only the social issues that I've been talking about here, but the psychological issues, and to think about how these people might relate to our own lives and to people we know and so forth. It's just a beautifully done, marvelously well-realized film. It's not a masterpiece, but I think it should be a very strong contender for that Academy Award that it's been nominated for. So now, talk about now for something completely different, as the Monty Python people used to say pretty regularly, Black Panther. So Black Panther is really, really, really in the news. And for that very reason, what I just said is probably redundant, because if it's been in the news, people have been hearing about it and so forth. It is not only breaking box office records of every stripe all over the place, but it's doing so as a somewhat unusual production, a huge budget, huge resource, Hollywood production with all the trimmings, which focuses almost entirely on African-American characters played by African-American actors. And that itself is really worth ringing some bells about. It is a very ambitious movie, and in a whole lot of ways, and what I'm going to say now, people have probably heard from other critics saying as well, but this is really one of the first things that came into my mind as I watched it, is that it reminds me of Wonder Woman from last year, which did kind of the same sort of a feat, another huge budget, huge resource Hollywood movie, focusing on female characters in all kinds of ways that were, you know, that were sort of groundbreaking. So now we have the same thing going on here with the female characters as well. There's some very powerful women in this story, but particularly with African-American characters. And this is especially interesting given all the very justified noise that there has been over the past very few years about Hollywood's tremendous ability to overlook any sort of minority that's smack dab in the middle of the whole industry, and certainly smack dab in the middle of all of American society and American culture. It's just always been amazing to me, but it is a fact that the movie industry in America has from its beginnings been dominated, I won't say totally, but almost totally, by white men. And that remains the case. And it's true of movie industries the world over. But Hollywood being to this day the most powerful, the most the wealthiest and the most influential film industry in the world, it's especially galling how Hollywood has managed this for decades and decades and decades, for more than a century now, in fact. anyway, Black Panther is a very useful corrective to all that. As to whether it's a really good movie, as this sort of thing goes, I found it pretty good. I had a better, and this is not my kind of movie. The huge, gigantic, special effects laden event movie is not my favorite kind of movie. But I enjoyed watching Black Panther most of the way through, more than I enjoyed watching Wonder Woman about a year ago. Wonder Woman isn't awful or anything, but it just did not engage me very much. As I often say, this is not a movie exactly for my demographic, and I'm not talking about race or ethnicity there. I'm talking about age group. This is a movie made very, very much for young people. It is, after all, based on a comic book franchise, and an unusual comic book franchise, which had a whole lot of real Marvel Comics, which is producing movies by the score practically nowadays, to which a lot of very interesting writers and artists contributed. So it's not just a sort of a very ordinary comic book franchise either. And that itself, of course, is kind of a very important thing because of the way it emphasizes African-American characters and other minorities. But anyway, here we have a comic book movie, which again is not the sort of thing that exactly made for sort of older people like me. My idea of comic book movies was sort of the Superman series of the 50s or something. Anyway, it's refreshing to see all this. So what is Black Panther about? Black Panther starts off about, well, again, very much like Wonder Woman. Very, very long time ago, hundreds of years ago, when we have a meteorite lands on Earth, which contains a substance called, and I can't help it, I find the name they've given to this substance rather silly. It is called vibranium. And all through the movie, when you hear people talking about vibranium, I kept thinking, well, this is a silly name for some sort of a mythical science fictional substance. But a meteorite crashes on Earth, and it has vibranium in it, and one of the people in one of the local tribes takes some of this stuff into himself and becomes the first Black Panther, which is, you know, a typical comic book type superhero with all of these special powers and stuff. And powered by vibranium, this very first Black Panther unites almost all of the tribes in the area to form a new nation called Wakanda. And since the Wakanda have vibranium, they have vibranium all over the place, and it gives them special power and it gives them special knowledge. And the stuff itself is just really handy to have around. You can do all kinds of stuff with it. They become a super society. They become a science fictional society. And this is, you know, all this starts centuries ago. And so they don't want to let the world know that they're a super society because they know how the world will mess up all the special things they're doing for themselves. So they kind of pretend that they're just an ordinary country in Africa without any sort of special stuff at all. And they pretend that they're poor and backward and all of this stuff, when in fact they're way more advanced than anybody else. So that's sort of the basics of the story, which also has a certain number of present day scenes where we have the king of Wakanda visiting in California, and it turns out that his brother has been doing something he shouldn't have been doing, and there's this very, very evil arms merchant named Ulysses Klaue who has been apparently stealing vibranium, and so there's all this stuff that's going on. And by the way, I've been mentioning the women, but there are also, as I mentioned before, I've been mentioning the men. There are some women in the story, and even some pretty powerful women. So that's what the movie is about, and it takes place both in ancient times and also in the present day, and it has all this stuff going on with the vibranium and with intrigue, and above all, with lots and lots and lots of action. And again, almost all the characters are black characters. With the main exception is a CIA agent, very nicely played by Martin Freeman, who is one of my favorite characters in the movie, partly because he's like a regular person and because he doesn't do superhero stunts all the time. So I really did rather like him. Now, as for, again, whether Black Panther is a good movie, if this is the sort of thing you like, you are really going to like this sort of thing. And I've said that before. If you are into really huge budget comic book movies, this is obviously a really, really well done one, with very passionate sort of performances, with a very attractive cast of men and women. I'll mention some of the people in it: Chadwick Boseman, Michael B. Jordan, Martin Freeman, who I mentioned a few moments ago, Lupita Nyong'o, Angela Bassett, who's wonderful to see, Andy Serkis, who specializes in sort of over-the-top stuff, Forrest Whitaker, a very, very serious and interesting actor who is quite wonderful here. Always a pleasure to see him, even in something that's totally different from his usual line of more serious, restrained sort of roles. So it's a very, very well done movie. plenty of attractive people. It actually had some fight sequences, at least a couple of them, which I found really, really watchable. And sometimes I just kind of tune out that stuff. And the special effects are sort of impeccably done. So if you like this sort of thing, again, Black Panther is going to be right up your alley. It's about as well done as they come. And I hope it gets all kind of attention. And I hope that it has a lasting effect in bringing more African-American actors to the screen in more highly visible roles. Whatever you say about Denzel Washington in a beautiful movie like last year's Fences, it's going to be seen by a small number of people because it's a super serious drama. Here we have the kind of big, splashy extravaganza, which could finally, maybe, I hope, turn things around a little bit in terms of Hollywood representation of the minorities who are in our midst. And I sure do hope that it has that effect. And so that is my pretty varied story this week, Joe.
For which we thank you, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Loveless and Black Panther.